Hello, listeners.
I'm Jessie.
I'm Jenna, and we're the hosts of
the Be Creepy With Me podcast.
Are you a terrified fan of the things that go bump in the night?
An obsessor of government conspiracies in the search for proof of alien life?
Do you yearn to stumble across that handsome, hairy Sasquatch of your dreams?
Well, then you belong with us.
We've spent years making a hobby out of the weird and unusual, and one day, we decided that the world could benefit from us sharing this insanity with others.
We also knew the pain of being the weird one in the room and saw the need for a community to be built for creeps
by creeps. So follow us on this adventure as we explore the strange and wonderful world we live on, whether it's cults or cryptozoology,
specters or superstitions.
No mystery is too mysterious.
No ghost is too ghostly for us here at the Be Creepy With Me podcast.
So join us.
Join us. You can follow us on Facebook and Instagram, listen on Stitcher, iTunes, or TuneIn,
and check us out online at BeCreepyWithMe.com. We look forward to having you.
And as always, be creepy.
All right, everybody. This is Listener Submitted Paranormal Stories, Volume 2. Every few months, I gather up a bunch of listeners with paranormal stories that they want to share. They can either submit them via audio to my email, or you can type it out and send it to me to read. The two submissions I have today are from Kate and Bambi. Bambi's is a little bit longer. She wanted me to read it because she loves my creepy voice. And Kate's is definitely submitted by audio. I'd like to thank both of you for submitting. I do greatly appreciate it. Stay tuned after the outro music for some reviews that I cover. And for all of those who love it when I read one-star reviews, there are a couple in there as well. So you should be hopefully satisfied with that. But, I mean, obviously there's always more 5 stars than anything else. So, on a side note, that promo that you did here at the beginning, I've started listening and I enjoy it. So, I know a lot of you do take up, you know, some of my suggestions. So, if you do take the time, download a couple episodes, give it a listen. You know, if you do enjoy it, let them know, you know, where you heard it from and, you know, try to keep the indie podcast community going and keeping them going strong. You know what I'm saying? So here is Listener Submitted Paranormal Stories, Volume 2. Enjoy. This first story was submitted via audio by Kate.
Hey, Justin. My name is Kate, and I really enjoy the podcast. Thank you so much for all the hard work you do. It's one of my favorites. And this is my paranormal story. It would have been about 2 years ago. My Aunt Jenny was in hospice. She was 47. She had been comatose for some time. We all knew she was going soon, you know. And we were told that things were pretty bad, and she probably only had another day or so. So the family all came in, and we were taking shifts. And I had gone to pick up my father at the hospice. He can't really drive anymore, so I had my aunt's dog. She loved that dog. It was like her kid. So I took the dog in to visit with her real briefly. Got my dad, and we walked out to the parking lot. I went to the car. My dad kind of waited back with the dog and let her sniff around. I was about 30 yards from him. And a deer appeared, a doe. And the deer walked toward my dad, and the dog, for that matter. The dog didn't bark. The deer came to about within 10 feet of him, and then it turned around, and it walked away. And, my dad remarked on it, and we moved on and continued to load up the car, get ready to go. But before we could get all the way ready, my dad's cell phone rang. It was his sister. his other sister, letting us know that Ginny had died literally within the maybe 2 minutes we had gone between the time we left the room and walked out and into the parking lot. My dad immediately believed that that Doe was Ginny. I don't know myself if I believe it 100%, but there's a big part of me that does. I think it was her. I think that was her coming to say a last goodbye. My dad was very special to her, and so was that dog. So if there's anybody that she would have wanted to see one last time, it would have been them. So that's my story. Ghost deer. Thanks.
I'd like to go ahead and thank Kate very, very much for sharing that story. It was definitely a good one, and you can tell that it definitely struck a chord with her. So thank you very much, Kate, and thank you for those kind words that you said before you started your story about the podcast. Thank you very much. This one was submitted by Bambi, and it is simply titled, The Valley Ghosts. In 1974, my family moved from an apartment in congested downtown Van Nuys, California, to a four-bedroom, two-bathroom house in the suburbs of the San Fernando Valley, California, which was just the beginning of several years of odd paranormal occurrences for our family. My parents were looking to purchase a new home, since we were currently living in a small apartment with five family members. These included my dad, mom, older brother who was 16 years of age, my second older brother who was 13, and me, at the awkward, goofy age of 11. My sister, who had been living with us up until a couple of months prior to us moving, had just gotten married in Las Vegas, Nevada, at the famous Little White Chapel. All of us drove to Las Vegas to attend the wedding and the large wedding dinner afterward. My sister married a wonderful guy who had served in the Vietnam War as a cook. And yes, he could definitely cook. During this time, my mom, who when she was not working, was constantly searching for a house for us to move into. I can remember her coming back each day and telling my dad about all the different kinds of styles, interiors, and people she had seen while house shopping. After a while, in a cute way, my dad had nicknamed my mom a Looky Lou. My mom, after tirelessly looking for a house, finally settled on one house in particular, located in the corner of the San Fernando Valley. One night after my dad got off of work, we all went to the house my mom had selected in order to do a walkthrough of the house prior to my parents actually purchasing the home. When we pulled up to the front of the house, it was already dark outside, but I could see it was a beautiful home. With a chain-link fence surrounding the outside front yard, there was a shaped, lush green grass yard and beautiful shrubs and trees decorating the front yard that were reflected by blue and green floodlights that made it look dreamy and enticing. However, the house had a bad feeling the second I walked in the door, and I immediately hated being in the house. Even though the house was spacious, beautiful, and had an upper-class setting with plush, beautiful golden carpets, yes, this was when 70s gold carpets were definitely in, I did not feel comfortable in the house. The realtor took us on the grand tour of the entire house, including all the bedrooms, bathrooms, kitchen, two-car garage, and backyard, which had a covered patio, bricked built-in barbecue pit, and a wonderful waterfall. Once we looked over the entire property, we said our goodbyes to the homeowners, who were sitting in the living room, trying not to seem too enthusiastic about having a potential buyer look at their house. The real estate agent left us and my family, and I got back into the car to head back to our second-story cramped apartment. As much as I did not like the idea of going back to the apartment, I begged my mom not to buy that house. I insisted I did not like it at all, and there was something wrong with the house. But being the youngest baby girl in the family, as anyone who is the youngest child can probably attest to, my pleas went completely and totally unheard. By the time my parents purchased the new home in the San Fernando Valley, packed our belongings from the apartment, and moved into the new house in the suburbs of the valley, it was midsummer and hot. My brother and I were out of school at this time, and in the fall we would be starting the new year at a new school. My older brother was off and on at a boys' school, and my mom and dad worked long, hard hours. My sister had moved into her new husband's apartment after they had married. We did not have central air conditioning in the new house. The living room was the only room that was cooled by what my dad called a swamp cooler, which is a very large air conditioner that utilizes water moisture to help cool the inside air. I can remember going in the backyard during the hottest part of the day and hosing down the outside of the cooler's filters to help it keep the house cool. During this time, it was too hot and sticky to sleep in our bedrooms, even with the windows open. It was too hot. My brother and I would often be in the habit of spending the night on separate floor pallets made up of sheets along with our pillows on the front room floor in order to get some sleep and keep cool. We had been in the house for approximately 3 to 4 weeks at this point, long enough to make some new friends with the neighborhood kids, and us kids being comfortable being left in our house alone. My mom would get ready for work early in the mornings at the dining room table, where we could hear her putting on her makeup, curling her hair with the hot rollers, and drinking her morning coffee. On one particular morning, my brother suddenly woke me up and he whispered to me from his spot in the living room, "Wake up. Hey, wake up. I hear footsteps in the kitchen." I was completely irritated with him for waking me up, and I said it was just Mom getting ready for work, while I kept my eyes shut and attempted to go back to sleep. My brother was still whispering in a frightened tone when he said to me, "No, look at the table. Her stuff is not there." Which my mom routinely put all of her makeup bags, curlers, and coffee cup away prior to leaving the house. So if she was still here, all her stuff would still be on the table where I could see it. Still trying to hold on to my sleepy mode, I looked up and sure enough, my mom's stuff was not there on the table. This perked my curiosity and I woke up fully. I was closest to the kitchen and could clearly see into the kitchen area. My brother had a disadvantage since he was further away into the living room area, and the corner of the kitchen wall blocked his view, preventing him from seeing the kitchen, and he could only see the dining room area. There was one big window in the kitchen that allowed the kitchen to be bright and dazzling in the daylight. The kitchen itself was long and narrow, lined with tall cabinets and appliances. At this point in time, I sat up so I could clearly see into the kitchen, and I heard loud, distinct footsteps walking through the kitchen. The sound of the footsteps then stopped at the edge of the kitchen and dining room area, approximately 7 to 8 feet in front of me, which, like I had already said, I could see clearly. The edge of the kitchen being where the linoleum ended and the golden carpet began. It took me a moment for my mind to register what my eyes were not seeing, even though my ears could clearly hear the footsteps, which sounded similar to men's dress shoes or a heavy leather-soled shoe. Because being the 1970s in Southern California during the hippie era, polyester pantsuits, long hair and go-go boots were in style. Most everyone had at least one pair of dress shoes with leather soles during this time. I was staring into the kitchen, where I should be able to see a person connected to the sound of the footsteps, but there was no one there. I could picture in my mind someone standing there staring at me, just as intently as I was staring at him. If it was a him, that is. Suddenly, I heard the same heavy footsteps turn around on its heels and head back the other direction from whence they came, back into the kitchen. I was still not understanding or processing the concept of why I could not see what was making the sounds my ears clearly heard. The sound of the footsteps went into the small hallway leading into my parents' bedroom, which was only about 6 feet long in total length. Then we heard the footsteps go into my parents' bedroom, where we both heard one of the dresser drawers open and close. We both then heard the closet door open in my parents' room. Since my parents' room was the master bedroom, and it was very large, it had two doors. One led into the living room, where my brother and I were currently staring, scared and wide-eyed, towards the master bedroom door. And the other door was off a small hallway next to the kitchen. My brother and I jumped up, no longer dazed and confused, when we rushed into straight panic mode. Being this was an era and time well before cell phones or text messaging, nor had 911 been implemented, so we had little recourse for immediate help. Once our parents were at work, there was no way to get in touch with them, except in a dire emergency. The commute to work for both of my parents was approximately 1 to 2 hours a day, depending on traffic. And in Southern California, you can spend a lot of time in traffic. After bolting up, we both ran into my brother's room, located at the end of the hallway on the other side of the house. My brother and I, after some quick discussion, had talked ourselves into and were now convinced that it could only be a burglar, whom we were now going to confront. Even though we knew in our minds, because we saw with our eyes or did not see anyone attached to those footsteps we heard, our disbelief in anything supernatural and lack of belief in ghosts or the paranormal kept us from admitting the truth of the incident. My brother reached into his dresser and got out a couple of his pocket knives and were probably no bigger than maybe 4 inches in length, with the blade extended. My ability to feel brave at this point was only due to my brother being with me and not having to face this situation or perpetrator alone. We then proceeded down the hallway into the living room, rounded the corner of the kitchen and headed down the length of the kitchen, walked through the small hallway and into my parents' bedroom. Brave or stupid or both, we snuck quietly into my parents' bedroom armed with nothing more than small pocket knives. Looking back on it now, I can laugh about it. Had it actually been a burglar or serial killer, we would have been walking into a really precarious situation, armed only with some small, wimpy pocket knives. We then noticed that one of the dresser drawers had been opened and partially shut, but not shut completely. My parents' dresser was one of the old-fashioned, extra-large wooden dressers, which was very solid and weighed a ton. We then noticed that the closet door, which we had heard open earlier, was now shut. There were two doors to the large bedroom closet, which were the French-type doors on rails. Logically, we assumed the perpetrator was inside the closet. I went up to the closet door while my brother stood behind me. Prior to pulling open the closet door, I turned back to look at my brother and saw his small pocket knife gripped in his hand so tightly his knuckles had turned white. His arm was raised up in the air above his head, poised ready to slice whomever was in the closet. I quickly sucked in a deep breath, grabbed the closet handle on the left, and flung the door open. Unexpectedly, and to our complete surprise, there was no one in the closet. I took a step forward, reached into the closet and pulled out a long white cord which hung down from the light fixture in order to get some light inside the closet and get a better look. We had convinced ourselves that there must be a person inside the closet, but no one was there. We poked around some items and moved some of the clothes out of the way, but did not find anyone. We were dumbfounded and in total disbelief as we shut the closet door. Well, that left one option next. We checked underneath the large California king-size bed that my parents slept on. And there was still nothing and no one to be found underneath the bed but clean, golden, in-color carpeting. We did not know what in the world we had just experienced. We had tried to piece together what just happened, but the pieces did not connect, and we were not able to come up with an answer or a solution. Neither my brother nor I believed in the supernatural, paranormal, or ghosts at that time. We were absolutely certain these were simply fun, scary stories that we read about or watched in movies, but were not really true. The rest of the morning we spent just kind of hanging around outside in the yard, doing various things, watering flowers and shrubs, cleaning up, stuff like that. Anything to keep from being inside the house. A few hours later, we met up with our new neighborhood friends. We told the neighborhood kids what had happened, while they listened with wide-eared fear. This caused curiosity and wonder beyond belief about what was really going on inside our house. Eventually, all of us kids, me, my brother, and our new friends, were standing on the curb in front of the house, leaning on the chain-linked fence which surrounded our front yard, staring at our house and chatting. All of the sudden, the curtains in my brother's room swung open, as if an invisible someone was in the house and had taken their invisible arm and pulled the curtains back, and they were now looking out at all of us. Which was impossible, because both my brother and I were the only ones home at the time, and we were both standing outside the front yard fence looking at our house. The dogs were still in the backyard and not currently in the house. All the kids in the neighborhood saw this occur, and then a few moments later the curtains were slowly released back to their original place. They did not fall back into place, but were slowly released, where they came back to rest in their original place. At this point, we all screamed and ran down the street to one of my friends' homes, located two houses down. We stayed there until just before it was time for my mom to come home that evening. Once my mom got home, we told her all about the day's events, at which time she did not speak a word, but she immediately pulled the rosary down, which had been hanging from her rearview mirror in her car. My mom then went to the front door, unlocked the door, and went inside the house ahead of us. She walked through the house, going from room to room, while holding her rosary out in front of her. But nothing was found, and no one was in there. Once my dad came home, we told him the same story, but he did not ever believe us. He did not believe in anything paranormal at this point in time, nor his entire life. My dad, who was a very intelligent, tall, strong, and tough man, was a Korean War veteran. He was a very imposing force by himself. So we did not speak a lot about the events that took place, for fear we would receive reprisals. After this initial blunt day of ghostly activity, over time we began experiencing more and more events in the home. I do not know if it was due to the weird, unexplainable events we had encountered, or if the house just got darker. There was a constant eerie, unsettling feeling in the house, and I spent a lot of time in my room, where I had hung up numerous crosses all over, to try to ward off anything from coming into my room and creating for myself a possible safe haven from the strange activity. My poor mom suffered the worst of it. She told us that she had been awakened several times in the middle of the night, during which time she saw white apparitions in her bedroom. She said on one occasion, she even followed the white apparition where it led her down the hallway until it finally dissipated. I asked her why she would follow the white apparition, and Mom stated, "I thought it wanted to tell me something, like it wanted me to follow it." The entity or spirit enjoyed hiding items on occasion, such as keys, glasses, money, and other items from my mom. I cannot count how many times we would all have to search the entire house for various items that had gone missing. It was so strange. The items would one second be in a very obvious place, such as on a kitchen counter or dining room table, and the next second would go missing. We would all be searching for the items, room to room to room, without finding the item. But then all of a sudden the item would just suddenly reappear in a spot we had all just walked by numerous times. One of us would have definitely seen the item if it had been sitting there just a few moments before. No explanation as to how it disappeared and suddenly reappeared out of thin air. It was exasperating and peculiar. There was one day both my brothers and I were in the living room watching an old movie, as we normally did during the hottest part of the day, just chilling and channel surfing, when without reason the heavy solid oak TV console suddenly and forcefully moved back about 12 inches. The sudden movement caused the TV console to hit the wall hard, knocking over a statue on top of the console, which caused the statue to tip over and break. The scary and bewildering part is how quickly it happened, and how much force it took to move this solid oak console, which contained a large TV, built-in stereo, radio, and speakers. Then there were the times I heard a voice in the hallway, both times in the same location while standing in the hallway near the spare bedroom, in my older brother's room. The voice would catch me off guard, and it sounded similar to a man's voice, deep, foreboding, and heavy. I never did ask any of my family members if they ever heard the voice or experienced this happening to them. I just kept those occurrences to myself. Being labeled crazy by telling someone you hear voices without explanation was a definite possibility. When I heard the voice the first time, I paused and looked around like, what the heck did I just hear? The second time I heard the voice, I just kept walking like I had not heard anything at all. The really frightening events for me took place in my brother's room, located at the end of the hallway. From this vantage point, you could see into the front room, clearly, by looking straight down the hallway. Once it was early evening, after dinner and homework was done, I did need to study for a spelling test for school the next day, which I procrastinated as much as possible. I was sitting on my brother's bed, chatting and yakking about school. The TV was off in the front room and no one else was home but me and my brother. A weird noise caught my attention coming from the front room. I heard what sounded like a heavy bowling ball rolling down the hallway towards my brother's room. It was strange to associate a noise with the sound of a bowling ball, but anyone who has been in a bowling alley or watched one on TV knows the sound a bowling ball makes while it rolls down the lane. My parents did not belong to a bowling league, and the sound of a bowling ball rolling down the lane is kind of unique. And crazy as that is, this is what I heard. The hallway was also carpeted with plush golden carpet, so it was perplexing to hear that sound coming from the hallway. The rolling sound stopped at the doorway leading to my brother's bedroom, just a few feet away from where I was sitting on the bed. I leaned forward slightly, listening intently, waiting for the next sound, but it was dead silent. I am fairly certain that if someone would have taken a picture of my face at that moment in time, my mouth would have been gaping open in shock and dismay. On another occasion, several months later, I was sitting in my brother's room again, and he was feeding his fish in his aquarium, which he had on the other side of the room. We were just chatting about a girl by the name of Gina, who had a crush on my brother, Gina just happened to be in my class at school. Then all of a sudden I felt the bed move. My brother was on the other side of the room and I was sitting still, sort of turned halfway so I could see the fish tank, with one leg underneath me and one leg hanging over the edge of the bed. I looked down to see why the bed was moving and I observed an indentation form on the bed right next to me, as if an invisible person had just sat down on the bed right next to me. I stared in shocked disbelief. However, I could clearly see the butt cheek imprint and leg indentations hanging off of the side of the bed. Without taking my eyes off the spot on the bed, I calmly asked my brother if he saw an indentation on the bed the same as what I was seeing. He then walked over closer to the side of the bed and my brother said, "Definitely yes." I jumped up so fast and ran out of my brother's room. You better believe I never sat on his bed in that room again. During the following years, there were other times when unexplained events would occur while we were living in that house. The uneasy and being watched feeling never left me. Creepy events kept occurring like items would, without any explanation, just fall over or drop down to the floor on their own, while we just stood watching there, wondering what just happened. Sheets and drapes and blankets would continue to move suddenly on their own. For some reason, the strangeness for me was also much darker than normal in my older brother's room and in the hallway. Scary and disturbing, to say the least. Approximately 5 years later, we finally moved out of the San Fernando Valley Ghost House. And I was so very, very happy. Bambi, thank you so much for submitting that story. That was so great. I'd definitely like to thank Kate and Bambi. Thank you very, very much for taking the time to submit these stories. This is fucking great. Thank you again. I hope you all enjoyed. And like I said before the episode, stay tuned after the outro music for some reviews as well. Until next time, I will see you on the flip side. Alright, you just got done listening to Listener Paranormal Stories Volume 2, and I figured I would read a couple reviews from iTunes. These are all from the US of A. The first one is from Samurai Snail, which is literally the greatest fucking username I have ever seen in my life. That is fucking awesome. But it's 5 stars, says great stuff, says interesting, fact-filled, fun. Straight, simple, to the point. Fucking love it. Samurai Snail, you are fucking awesome. Thank you for taking the time to review the podcast. I appreciate that. Next one we got is from Todd Hedges, 5 stars. Says, fantastic. This is a must listen, and I enjoy the stories, and I appreciate the research and fair approach he takes towards each case he talks about. I'm a fellow Hoosier as well as Justin, so that's also cool. Keep up the good work. Todd, thank you very much. Yeah, fucking Hoosier life, dude. Fucking Indiana, man. Gotta love it. I love it when people from Indiana are out there listening. I fucking love it. It's pretty badass, so I greatly appreciate that. Next one is from Cheezik23, 5 stars. Says, great podcast. Says, if you like mysterious subjects, you will love this podcast. Justin is a great host and does some great research into the subjects. I like that the episodes aren't scripted. Give this one a listen. Cheezik, thank you very, very much. Yeah, I do not script my episodes. It's funny because sometimes people think I script the monologues that I'll do in the beginning of, you know, really big cases, and I can fucking assure you those are not scripted either. I mean, I'll have to say something once or twice to say it right, and then I'll edit it out later. But yeah, nothing about this podcast is scripted, and it fucking never will be. That's not how I've ever wanted to do shit. So, next one, Wild Jewel, 1 star, says not my thing. Says his rants at bad reviews just went on and on. I fast forwarded it past his rant so I could listen for myself. I wanted to like it because of the subject matter, but seriously, his voice was so boring. His mannerisms made me cringe. Profanity does not bother me, but he sounds like a 13-year-old showing off. I could not get past 10 minutes of it, and I won't subscribe or listen again. I hope, Wild Jewel, you appreciated how I put a little dramatic turn on reading that fucking review. Well, oh, there's so many fucking things I can say about this, but, you know, it is what it is. Peace, later. You don't have to subscribe or ever listen again. I really couldn't give 2 fucks less. So, peace. You are not my thing. Oh, next one is from Ambi, and I know she did this on purpose because she knows I love emojis in my reviews. Because she re-reviewed me and put a bunch of emojis in there just for me. And says Jesus Lives 12, which is Ambi, of course. It's 5 stars. It says Justin puts his whole heart and soul into these incredible and interesting podcasts. If you want to be in the know and hear stories told outside the box, then this is the best podcast to listen to ever. And all these fucking emojis are like the greatest shit fucking ever. She really fucking went full bore with this, and you guys actually just heard one of her stories that she submitted for me to read, and I appreciate that so fucking much. And Ambi, I appreciate you. I see you on Facebook, liking my posts and stuff on the podcast page. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much. Oh, what do we have here? Next up, we have another 1-star review from Sheb Bear. I don't even fucking care. It's, this is the greatest shit ever, alright? Because this says, 4-letter words, not necessary. I'm deleting this podcast from my iTunes library due to the constant use of 4-letter words. They are not necessary, and they detract from a serious focus on the cases. Well, I'm gonna go ahead and enlighten you here real fucking quick. If you look up my podcast anywhere, and in the show description, okay, in all fucking capital letters, all right, surrounded by fucking asterisks, it says explicit language. Now, I'm not 100% sure what you think that means, or if you even bothered fucking reading it. But for God fucking sakes, if you're listening to true crime and you can't handle 4-letter words, you need to seriously fucking focus on your priorities, alright? I'm just gonna fucking throw that out there. And I do have a few 4-letter words pertaining to my fucking podcast description, okay? Next time, read. It really fucking goes a long way. And this review right here, seriously, it makes me question the literacy and common fucking sense of humanity. All right? Fucking duh. Next one is 5 stars from Penny Wilson 64. Says, awesome podcast. This is a seriously good podcast. I love the range of topics from the somewhat obscure to the fairly mainstream. The research is extensive, thorough, and presented intelligently and entertainingly. I look forward to each new episode. Keep up the excellent work. Penny Wilson, thank you so fucking much. I do see you out there on social media following me. I love it. And thank you for taking the time to leave that review. I do put a lot of work into it. I like covering all kinds of stuff. So I am really fucking glad that you can appreciate that as well. Thank you very much. Oh, this next one is from Blue Ginger the K. 5 stars. It says, so good. It says, my wife clued me into your podcast. She had seen the name Robert Johnson and knew my affinity for blues guitar. It's all I ever play. It says, great episode. Hooked me right in. About to binge. Thanks for this. Sincerely. There is so much crap out there. This is top shelf. Best of luck, Dan. Dan, I tell you what, dude, that is a fucking awesome review. Dude, that Robert Johnson episode is one of my favorites. And I will say, if you do have, you know, the time, my co-host on that episode was Olivia from Something's Not Right. She did a great fucking job on her end of the research. She's really into the blues as well. Me personally, man, I play guitar, and the very first, you know, tab book, I taught myself how to play guitar. I didn't take any lessons, so I had to learn using tabs. Very first tab book I ever had was fucking blues, man. So I can definitely understand your appreciation for that. That's a genre of music that you feel. You don't listen to it. You don't fucking hear it. You feel it. And I can fucking appreciate that so much. But I'm really glad that you like that. That was a fun episode to do. I was a little bit disappointed, I'm not going to lie, with some of the stuff that I did find out that almost debunked the legend. But I'm really glad that you enjoyed it. Thank you very, very much, Dan. I appreciate that, good sir. And that's it for this round of reviews. Next week, I will probably be hitting up Facebook for some reviews on there that I have not read. I've got quite a bit of them. So thank you, everybody. I appreciate it. And I'll talk to you later.